As you look back in your life, is there any one thing that you're the most proud of?
Oh, there's so many things.
Yeah. So you couldn't put your hand on any one of
them? Every day is just a blessing. I mean, it's just crazy.
Yeah.
I'm one of those people not real religious. I'm about as religious as the Unitarian Church will get. You know, as a guy in the world wrote, it's a church for atheists.
You were a Scandinavian. Weren't you raised in a Lutheran church?
Yeah, originally, yeah. Then my dad took us to the Presbyterian Church in Missouri and then became Methodist here. We were there at Boston Avenue before Muzan got there. He's a dear friend.
Advice for students beginning to look at their new life?
Well, I think students need to just don't get focused on any one thing. Life leads you to many different places. I'm always interested to read the reports that the president of Stanford University puts out. The president writes one every year. It's on the previous 10 years' experience. The people that graduated, what are they doing now? And if you weren't a physician or a registered nurse or an architect or a lawyer, who knows what you're doing? And those people even change. Mr. Erling here, he might have been a corn farmer for all I know, and now he's a radio announcer, and so it just changes around. I started out, my first job for pay was selling women's and children's clothes at JCPenney before I became an orderly in a hospital, but I've always had a job, always need something to do. I helped found the surgical technician program at Tulsa Tech. Joe Limley is a dear friend. He called me up one day and said, "You got to have coffee with me." And I said, "Oh, that's dangerous." He said, "We're going to institute a new program out here called Surgical Technicians." I said, "That's beautiful. How are we going to do this?" So I just fell right in and got a wonderful young woman, Carol Dollar, a nurse from St. Francis. Hate to see her leave, but years ago she left and she's still running the thing. She puts out extremely good products. I'm proud of that. I'm proud of just a lot of stuff, you know. I'm proud of everything we did. Employees we brought into the hospital.
For the future generations, they look upon you, how would you like them to be remembering you?
Oh, I don't really care if they do. I went to hear Garrison Keillor. I love him. When he came to Tulsa, he shocked the town hall by saying in 10 years, nobody would remember 9/11. Well, now let's talk about what happened in the paper today.
Well, today there's a full-page ad, and at the top it says, Tulsa County Medical Society Foundation extends heartfelt thanks to project volunteers and partners for your compassion, generosity, and goodwill. You are listed here, as a matter of fact.
That's a donor. You understand that I'm not listed on the other side, but I was, whatever they call it in the business now, when the people have the first ideas and they put their energy and money behind it, like the angels before the venture capitalists come in. It's been several years ago now that a person down in Asheville, North Carolina, figured out that too many doctors were doing too much of the charity work, and too many hospitals were doing more than their fair share. So she decided to have a reconciliation program where people would share the indigent. And I call it share the poverty. I checked on this, and I found out that actually, although a doctor started it, now hospitals loved it because no one hospital was overwhelmed with all this pay-as-cash patients. And I tried to keep talking here, and I didn't get to first base. And as I told Mr. Erling earlier, I'm sort of like an icebreaker. I run into things, and sometimes they break right away, sometimes they break into pieces, I have to go back, sometimes it breaks me, and I fall to the bottom. But I'm also like a bulldog, and I just hang on. And I knew this is the thing we need to do. I found a cardiologist in Wichita, Kansas, who for $35,000 made a program that would reconcile all this. And I kept talking about it. I was a member of the COOTS, and I was also a beta member of the Tulsa County Medical Society Foundation, which raises money for the building that they built and the scholarships and for charitable activities. We didn't have any really organized charitable activities. People would write us grants, and we'd shotgun it. So we formed our own Tulsa County Medical Foundation to do what we thought was important. We talked and talked about putting this into the Asheville system where we would raise money to hire people, buy a computer, get an office, and get this thing started. Since then, I left the foundation. I'm still with the COOTS. I still have a report on it. Whenever we meet, I ask what's happening. A man named Bill Geffen, a pediatrician, retired, went to work for the University of Oklahoma, and he became the president of the foundation, reviewed the minutes, and thought this is a good idea. Talked to Michael LaPala, who's a healthcare policy man at OU, and talked to Dan Duffy. Dan Duffy is an internist who now is like an assistant dean there. Anyhow, they came back and they wanted to talk about it, and they said they could get some money to do what I was unable to do, and we gave them, God bless them, and away they went. They got Kaiser money, they got Zero money, they got Oxley money, they got, you know, all this money, and to come support the Schusterman money. In today's Tulsa world, they have an 8-month report on what has happened, and I'm just like a proud papa today. I did get a call from St. Francis that told me that there's going to be a large ad in the paper that would really excite me this morning.
And I'm holding it up.
You're holding your copy up.
Yeah.
As I said earlier when we were talking before this interview, I sat around with the good old boys when I was a kid growing up, and I heard all these men complaining of life, and things aren't good, the president's bad, laws are bad, we're not making enough money, taxes are bad. And then they end up by saying, I coulda, I shoulda, I used to. Somehow that went into my brain. I said that wasn't going to be me when I grew up. I have thoughts about something all the time, either for me, my children, my wife, someplace to go or something. I looked at John Erling's office. It's a bit smaller than mine. I redid a bedroom. I've got more tables, but I've got a lot more stuff stacked than he does. And nobody goes in there but me.
Right.
And everything is precious.
Yeah.
One of the things I'd like to do, I'd like to drive all the way around Lake Superior. I'd like to deliver more medicines to the Tulsa County Pharmacy. I like all the plants to look good on Earth Day over All Souls.
Well, you've got a lot to do yet, don't you? As Edgar Guest said, you've got a heap of living to do.
Yeah, and time moves so fast. I'm not prepared. I've got trust from 1986. I drive old cars. I just bought my wife a used car. I'm very conservative, like all these Swedes and Norwegians are. I just never had a Mercedes, never had a country club membership. I always sat there, stayed up 2 o'clock in the morning designing emergency rooms and stuff. I ought to say one other thing you might want to put in the St. Francis 50-year anniversary book, the statement made about wash basins being outside the hospital rooms.
Mm-hmm.
That became a crusade for me. Now, this is the basis of this. You have to realize that in the 1800s, doctors put people in the hospital to die. If you went in the hospital, you'd catch something. They were very big infections. Let me tell you, that's going on today. Doctors ought to be washing their hands. And you see in the paper, doctors aren't washing their hands. They hire nurses to spy on them. They give them lessons. All these things go on. Way back before they built the tower at St. Francis, I would go and see a patient. I'd go into the bathroom to wash my hands, and I said, I shouldn't be in here after I examined that wound, even with gloves on. When their toothbrush is up here, their washcloth is there, and there's two people in the room back in the good old days. And then the sink would be a wash basin for people washing their feet or whatever is done, and an emesis basin for brushing their teeth. And I'd be washing my hands between the hydrant and the basins, using a soap bottle that wasn't even a pressure thing. This is better now. This has changed. I just went on a crusade that when they built that tower, they were going to put the wash basins outside with a foot-operated pump. I mean, we had those in the Vietnam hospitals in combat. And paper towels that you'd just draw one at a time out in a sack that you'd throw them in that would be considered possibly infectious. Boy, did I have some tussles with architects and people that thought that St. Francis was a beautiful pink hospital and it ought to remain the most beautiful place in the world, and putting wash basins between every two rooms out in the tower was not our style. And way up at the top, the big man understood it.
So that did happen.
And it happened.
The big man being?
W.K. Warren. Do you ever interview Bill Lissau?
No,
he was previous. He's good.
Sergeant of the Foundation.
Mr. Warren had Bill go over and drop a plumb line down off the tower that was being built. And then he had a telescope up there, and he'd look at that thing to make sure every brick was going up just right. And one day, he caught a guy down there shoveling, you know, and he'd stand on his shovel and he'd smoke. He got Lissau and said, you go down there and tell that guy to get to work. I went down there and said, now, mister, don't get mad at me. Listen, I was a little guy. You know, don't get mad at me, but I'm going to have to put on a really good show here. My boss is watching. And he starts shaking his hand. The man put his cigarette out, grabbed his shovel, and he starts shoveling like crazy. Healthcare was fun.
Yeah.
It's kind of twisted now. People just don't want the world to change.
What will become of hospitals in the next 50 years?
They're all going to become systems. They're going to be very effective, very, very effective systems. There's a lot of things that can change. There's a lot more diagnostic equipment that they'll just insert into your body. You won't even know it's there. Doesn't even need a battery change. They'll be able to monitor your blood sugars and blood pressures and all sorts of doggone things. It's incredible. They're putting it all on your cell phone now. So when it's time for your doctor report to go in, you just call up this number and things go over. All the laparoscopic surgery, destruction of tissue that's not with a knife, electromagnetic sources. Yeah, that's really changed. I've seen it since I was a doctor. A guy and I were on call at the University of Missouri Obstetrics Division. We didn't have anything to do, and everybody went to a football game or something. So we went and got an EKG machine, hooked it up to a pregnant woman, and said, let's go get another one. So we hooked it up. She didn't care. She thought we were probably doctoring her. We said, look at these tapes, Joe. We've got an EKG of the baby, an EKG up here of the heart. We thought we were smart. When we went off duty, we went down to the library and looked it up, and This is like 1950s. Looked it up, and Einthoven invented the EKG machine in like 1903. Hmm. He did his first babies in 1904. So that close to a Nobel Prize. Always gone. But all the nuclear medicine, all that stuff is new. All the CAT scanners, all the MRIs, that's all new. Emergency room things, resuscitation equipment, medications, just to get ambulance attendants to be able to do an instant blood sugar to feel and say, this is a diabetic, over-treating himself, he needs D50W, things like that. Call IMSA, say, I'm having a heart attack, take an aspirin as soon as you can. They wouldn't have let anybody have an aspirin before. You know, that's really changed. And of course, some poor doctors just don't get it. The new people, over half the surgeons and surgical training are females. Not only that, I read all the graduation names from Missouri and from Parkland and from OU. I get their information. I can't even pronounce their names. I don't know where all the boys have gone. I just don't know. It's a great job. Everybody said, would you do it again? Heck yes. I mean, what's happened to me to this point is going to happen in the future. Our life's a path. It just keeps going on.
Well, you came along at the right time. Timing is everything. And how we're prepared in life and don't realize we're being prepared for the next adventure.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, thank you for this time you spent. And on behalf of those who will listen and the public, I say thank you.
Yeah.